morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Ben Miller from the Marion campus. We're thankful that you've chosen to join us again. Today, as we continue our talk about the You and Me series, we're going to focus on confession as it relates to marriage. In the devotional content, which you can find on the LifePoint app, we are looking at Psalm 73, 23 to 26. So let's read that together. Psalm 73, 23 to 26. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In this passage, the psalmist talks about God's presence and counsel. He also says that there's nothing on this earth that he desires. And then one of the most powerful phrases, he says, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In the devotional today, it does a great job of talking about how we can often go into marriage with a lot of expectations. We have plans for our marriage and family and what they will look like, and we want to grow old together, sitting on the front porch, drinking lemonade, or whatever that vision you might have for your family. In that sense, in the sense of expectations, our spouse, our children, or just the image of what we had or hope for our family and what they should look like, it can become an idol to us. In fact, these expectations would be a bad idol. We may actually become disillusioned with our marriage and our family and doubt its value. Maybe we don't look like the Insta families or the Facebook families that we see on social media, and so our expectations for marriage and family may falter. Or maybe for those folks longing for a spouse, we might place unreasonable expectations on a person that we've not even ever met, making it impossible for them to fill that role. Don't hear me wrong, though. I'm not advising anyone to settle. But what we need to keep in mind is that person who is or will be our spouse cannot play the role of God in our lives. But as the psalmist says, our hearts, our flesh may fail. I would even go as far as to say that our hearts and our flesh will fail. But God is the strength of our hearts and our portion, our inheritance, what we've always really longed for. This past Sunday, we talked about what love really is. Look with me at John 15, verse 12. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. In this passage, Jesus is telling us that the highest form of love is found in a deep commitment to his friends, a deep commitment that is willing to sacrifice everything, even unto death. He says that this is the ultimate form of love, and I'm not talking about the kind of come and go, fall in and out of love stuff, the ooey gooey butterflies in the pit of our stomach that the world tries to sell us as love. I'm talking about loving someone so much, being so committed in the relationship that you're willing to lay down your life for that person. So I believe that Jesus defines love in simple terms. Love is sacrifice and commitment. Let me say that again. Love is sacrifice and commitment. Jesus, speaking of his commitment to his friends, is saying that he's so committed to them that he's willing to give his very life for them. And then he does the unthinkable. He actually does give his life for them. He surrendered himself on the cross for them, for all of us. He's that committed to us. So what about marriage? In the marriage context, we should experience that kind of love, if not more so. Not just because we've made promises to one another that we intend to keep, while that's all good. Our lives should reach past the promises and into our hearts. We should love each other enough, being that committed to one another, that if the situation did arise, we would each gladly lay down our lives for the other. And yet, in this example, Jesus is talking about friendship. So this brings me to an important question. Why would we expect more from friendship than we would from marriage? Marriage is more than friendship. The stakes are higher. Therefore, our decisions should be even more grace-filled, more considerate, more loving than any friendship ever could be. As an example, I want us all to take a moment and picture someone in our head. Not our spouse, but somebody who's been a best friend for a long time or been a best friend for you at one point. Someone you share everything with, every detail of life. They've been there with you through thick and thin. They've seen you at your best and at your worst, and they still love you anyway. Talking about a true friend, the kind of friend that you've experienced a deep level of love and safety with. Now let me ask you this. Should any of us want less than that for our marriage? If not, let's stop for a moment and think about the ways we could possibly treat our spouse poorly? Do we treat them with the same level of honesty, vulnerability, openness? Are we joy-filled when we want to spend time together? We wouldn't expect to stay friends with someone we treated poorly, in the same way we shouldn't take advantage of or take for granted our spouse by treating them poorly, expecting them to be bound by duty rather than love. And if we love our spouse enough to give our very lives for them, shouldn't we also love them enough to surrender them and the relationship to the Lord? As we talk about marriage in the context of confession, we need to be aware of the many pitfalls a marriage can fall into. One might be that we take our spouse for granted, expecting them to be there for us as they always have been, without really investing our own hearts in them. Another might be that we idolize them, or our plans for them, or the idea that we have in our minds for a good life and family. Those plans might be good, those plans might even be what God wants for us. But if we truly love our spouse with that kind of love that Jesus talks about as sacrifice and commitment, we need to be willing to lay down our marriage, our lives, our plans for the future, our plans for our family, whatever idol we've set up, down at the feet of Jesus, knowing that He is the only one who could fill our hearts, becoming the strength in our hearts, accepting that the inheritance that He has for us is better, far better, than the one that we could imagine. Let's bring these confessions before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are a fallen and broken people. We can easily and often stray. At least in the focus of our lives and the busyness of our lives, we can lose sight of the fact that You are our only real inheritance and the only one who can fill our hearts. We want that in our families. We want that in our marriage. We give our marriage to You. And for those who are listening and they're aching for a spouse, or maybe they've married, maybe they're married, but they're waiting for children. I pray that You would just help them to see the wonderful good that You do while we wait on You. I pray that they will seek You, not the ideal thing they've imagined in their minds, but You, and as our joy, the one who fills our hearts and our internal inheritance. We know that You can do far more than we can ask for or imagine as we surrender our hearts to You. And we surrender our lives before You. You can do more than we can do for ourselves. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.